Welcome to another episode of Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Wally. And today I'm so excited to have on a 36-year-old from Sheffield, England. His hockey journey was all in England with the Hallam Rinkrats, the Bradford Vipers, and the Sheffield Bears. But he is best known around the world as a muck-running photographer, winning international championships or awards, whatever you want to call them in the game. He does it all, folks, and he does it all over the world, winning his fun. Weddings, musicians, animals, food, castles, the prettiest gosh darn views I ever have seen, and he even runs amok photographing sporting events, from horse jumping to the Sheffield Steelers. And shortly, he is heading to Portugal to capture who knows what there. Welcome to the shed, Scott Antcliffe.
Wow, what an intro, Wally. I need you on payroll to be my hype man. That was no, that's great. Thank you. I don't think my head's going to be able to get out the door now after
Well,
that.
it's pretty neat checking out your like your Instagram there, man. You've taken some wild photos.
Yeah, it's been a journey. I started, I guess, a little while ago. 2017 is when I really kind of got into it. And then, yeah, it's just kind of gone in different directions. I started off, I guess, doing landscape and wildlife, which are the real passions. And then, yeah, just kind of got creative in other areas and kind of diversified. And obviously, weddings and things are pretty popular. And with obviously COVID and everything, there's been a backlog. So, been fortunate enough to have done quite a few of those. And it helps obviously pay the bills. But I enjoy it. It's good fun, and you get to meet a lot of great people in all different areas of photography.
Well, it's neat what you're doing. We'll get into all that, but I knew your name. Like when you so how we got how I get into how we know each other. You sent me a really nice message on Insta, and you said you had just listened to the last episode with Swanky in New Zealand, and I mean, writing nice things is nice to people, and it meant a lot to me because I have put in a lot of time and effort into having fun with my friends, and it still is fun, so I'll keep doing it. But getting messages like that means the world to me. So thanks for the support, man. But I knew your name before. Did you like, were you the photographer for the Steelers back in the day?
No. So I've kind of helped out at a few games in the past. So I used to do kind of beat writing. So I guess my involvement with the Steelers, to kind of take it back a little, I was a fan since, oh God, the age of 3 or 4. Got into it. 93 was my first season. Got some free tickets and was hooked ever since. And obviously you use pester power, you kind of speak to parents and they get dragged along. And it's kind of been
It
there ever since. But
turns into a hockey family, right? When you've been a
oh,
fan for years, I bet you got a lot of friends, or they'd be your hockey family now that you've cheered on the Steelers together for the over the years, right?
yeah, absolutely. Like you say, it's like a community of people and a good like-minded community who have each other's backs, and it's a great supportive network. But I got into doing the media stuff. See, 2007, I think it was. So there was a website called Pro Hockey News, who are quite big in the States and over the pond, but we're kind of trying to get a foot in the UK hockey scene, and they were looking for writers. And I thought, you know what, I'll sort of give it a go. And I was a keen writer anyway, so I messaged them and said, oh, I'd be interested in maybe covering the Steelers. And yeah, it went from there. And then I got into doing radio commentating. So I commentated for hospital radio initially. Which was, yeah, it was an interesting gig. It's certainly different trying to commentate on radio, and you can't put across what you see to the fans, so you've got to sort of almost explain it a lot more in depth, because obviously they can't see what's going on. But that was cool, and then eventually started writing program articles for the Steelers. Did that up until about 2017.
Yeah, I knew your name, you know? And like I know they probably still do the same. Like they'd put the programs in the locker room before the games so the fellas can read, you know. And the Steelers always had a great program, and Cardiff too. And you know what's a fun fact is my poster maker guy, Lee Freeman, is the designer of those programs. And he's also doing it right now for the Olympic qualifiers, and the guy's running amok. And for me, it just he's done so much for me over the years I've been doing this. Like, I mean, I've done 360 something episodes, and he's made a poster for everyone. And I owe him a lot, and my word does he have my back, you know? Great dude. Keep up the good work, Lee. Thanks for everything, you know?
Lee's a beauty. We spoke quite a bit in the past, and Lee took over doing the program from a guy called Richard Murray, who used to do it down in Cardiff, and I liaised with Richard quite a bit when I was doing the programs, and Richard was a great guy. Salt is his business, and I think he retired, and but yeah, kind of Lee took over the mantle, and you know what, he's done a cracking job, and like you say, the programs are just such good quality, and yeah, he's at the top of his game right now, and yeah, he's a great guy too.
Well, if any players are listening to us that are still playing hockey, the programs where they have articles about you and whatnot, you should keep those things because then when you have kids someday and you still have them, it's like the programs from when I was with the Devils, man, I have some stored away and there's team pictures with my kids in them. My Colby would always come on the ice with me and like all the programs, team photos, like my son's in them, and if I wouldn't have saved those programs, I wouldn't have those memories, right? And that's why they should
Absolutely.
never go to online programs. I saw one team was trying to do this, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Get out of my way. That is so unhockey. You need a program where people can hold it, read it, keep it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the tangible feel as well, you know, the physical feel. And that's why, you know, I've been bought a Kindle in the past, but I think I've turned it on like once. I'm old school. You can see all the
Yeah.
books behind me. And, you know, even when I go away next week and go to Singapore, I'll be sticking some books in my bag and probably catching up on a few books that I've not had a chance
Singapore,
to
not Portugal. Be better, research team, eh?
read. It's
What a
okay. I
mess.
didn't want to correct you before, but
Well, you just did. I noticed. But yeah, because your message had something to do with going to Singapore and I'll be sure to listen into the shed so you get another country. But it's weird, man. We already have Singapore and I haven't got a
Wow.
new country in some time now. And it's like, I don't know any more countries, really.
Yeah, there's only so many countries out there, right?
Yeah, so what are you going to do in Singapore? What are you going to take pictures of?
So it's quite an interesting one. I won a like a national landscape photography competition for a magazine called Wanderlust, and part of the prize is to photograph and work with the tourism board over there in Singapore, and so we've
So
kind of got
you
like
won
a,
your way to Singapore. That's wicked.
it's I know, you know what, I growing up I never went abroad till I was 21. The first time I went abroad was to Canada to see a friend who emigrated over there. And for me, you know, I was one of four children, single parent family. Money was, you know, very tight, and so flying for me was for, you know, rich people, and so I never really had the opportunity to travel. So now to do it as part of work is, you know, it's really like a dream come true. So we've kind of got an itinerary over there with some activities planned for us. So I'll be, you know, going on like a walking tour on the first day. Through another contact, I'm going to be potentially photographing Ed Sheeran. So he's playing on Saturday, the evening we land. So it's going to be quite a tight turnaround to kind of get from the airport to his show. But I'll hopefully be there photographing that. And then after that, it's pretty much, you know, at my leisure what I want to photograph. There's no real brief. It's just kind of go over there, have fun, and kind of shoot what you want to shoot, and you know, whatever you come back,
Well,
a bonus sort of thing. So
that's awesome that they give you the freedom to be creative and do what you want. They're not telling you what you're shooting. That's cool. And that you could be photographing Ed Sheeran. Jeez, I know famous people, eh?
yeah, you know, it's yeah, I started off, I guess, with local bands. I still work with a lot of local bands in Sheffield. Give a shout out to a band called the Rosodox, who are linked with the Sheffield Steelers, so they play at the shirt launch for the last couple of years at the start of the season, and they've kind of become I guess synonymous with the Steelers, and their branding's orange, and they even had one of their videos with the players in it. It's really worth checking out. I'll send you a link to that. So they were on the ice playing hockey and mixing it up out there with boys. So yeah, I work with a lot of local bands, but it's kind of gone on to working with some bigger artists too, which, you know, sometimes you have the pinch me kind of moments and where you're like, wow, is this really happening? You know, you get the imposter syndrome, but you know, you kind of get out what you put in, and I've always worked hard and kind of determined to do well in you know, in photography really, and any walk of life.
I agree with what you put in, you get out, and I was watching the the Cardiff Devil documentary there that they're making about behind the scenes in the last episode, I heard the coach say in his speech, the game gives you back what you put into it. And it hit home with what I'm doing now, with all the fun things that have gone on from talking my shed. And it was like, I have put in a lot of effort. I've put in a lot to the game out here in the shed. And it's pretty neat what I'm getting out of it. It's like, if you look behind me, I didn't know anything about this. A fella from Western Michigan, Kalamazoo, Michigan, when I went to school there, told me he started playing hockey from watching me play and wore number 10 his whole life and switched to 18 like I did. And he sent me his jersey from when he was 8 years old. And it means the world to me up there. It's like I didn't make the NHL. I came back here, felt like a failure. And now I don't. And to see those two jerseys, rah-rahs from Cardiff 18 and the 10 from Western Michigan, it's like, well, maybe I didn't do, what everybody's goal is, but I did win championships and I got a shed family and I got everything I need, you know?
Well, absolutely, and to inspire people like you have done with the young children who are playing hockey, a lot's got to be said for that. It's great, and I'd probably take more away from that than the number of games in the show or the A or wherever. So
Or the
having
bank account, right?
that, yeah, exactly, might not be as good in the bank, from a I guess from a a making an impact and kind of leaving a legacy standpoint. You're doing great, and for one, I love listening to the pod. It's yeah, usually when I'm driving in the car, and no, I love it. I think I got into the about episode 30 something, 33, and kind of
It's been a long
binged
journey.
on the previous 30. Yeah, and then I've been there along the way, and what to hear, the guests and just you tell your story, and over the years, it's great. It's almost like I know you through the pod, and I think it's amazing what you're doing. And yeah, long may it continue. Here's to
Yeah,
another 400, 380 odd more or whatever.
no, I don't plan on slowing down. I'm still having too much fun, but I guess this is us meeting, and it's nice to meet you. But yeah, Team GB is playing right now, and I'm their biggest fan. They got a new captain with Doughty from your Steelers, eh? And what a great pick he is.
Oh yeah, Doughty, he kind of epitomizes everything, in a leader, taking over from Jono. Yeah, tough shoes to fill, but
Those are
Doughty,
tough
from
shoes to fill, but also Jono's feet never fit in his skates anyways.
yeah, with a manky toe. Yeah,
Old twinkle
absolutely.
toes, the captain of
Yeah.
captains.
But no, yeah, Doughty is a he's a great guy, sort of on and off the ice, and he is the sort of person you can build a team around, how he conducts himself, how he is with the fans. Yeah, he's
Oh, did you just
runs amok out there, likes to muck it up, as we say, and yeah, he's not afraid to get stuck in, but he'll lead by example, and that's all you want from a leader. And obviously, with how successful the Steelers are this year, everyone's kind of buying in, and obviously a confident team. And when you get that train rolling, it's hard to stop. And with GB, obviously it's a good start to their qualifying campaign yesterday, and yeah, hopefully they'll get a couple more
When
wins.
speaking of great leaders and people, is like I sponsor Cam Critchlow from Manchester, and he is a great leader with the Storm. And like he mucks it up, he scores goals, he makes plays, he entertains the crowd, he has time for the fans. I couldn't be happier with the guy I sponsored this year, which, by the way, folks, raffle is live at aleshockeytales.com. Two Ales jersey with Walton 18 on the back. Please help me pay my bill because I still owe a lot of money. Right. But anyways, he just made his real debut with Team GB yesterday, scored goals, won man of the match, and this was in his debut. And it's like, geez, I must have picked the right guy again. It's like when I picked my guests for the shed, you know? I must have good taste in men.
Absolutely, and yeah, like you say, Cam, he's one of those players you love to hate on the other team. He's a warrior, he battles, he puts in 110% every shift, and yeah, what a great debut weekend or great debut game for him yesterday. We had a couple of good snipes as well.
Yeah, and I always say people play like their personalities, and I've actually never seen him play hockey, and I think it's hilarious that I invested in a guy based on our conversation, then knowing what he did in the game after and starting a hockey tradition. The chocolate in Manchester is it is part of their tradition, their hockey team. And it's so neat that we started that talking in the shed. And it's fun being part of hockey history, you know. And I heard the Sheffield Steelers are in the Challenge Cup final. I heard Tansy likes Toblerone. I heard Ciampini likes dairy milk chocolate or whatever, and Sauce Man likes Ferrero Rochers. So if anybody's going to that game, we're not supposed to throw chocolate on the ice and hurt people and hit people in the heads, you know. So let's get down to the glass, just nice gentle lobs over for the fellas and make them feel appreciated. And what they're doing this season is important. It's a memorable year the Steelers are having, which sucks for me because, you know, they beat us when I was there too. Bunch of punks, those orange are.
Yeah, no, it's been a hell of a ride this season, and yeah, it's gonna be tricky against Guildford, and they're another team who are kind of built for speed, and got a lot of players on their team who can can find the back of the net. So it's gonna be a hell of a game for sure. And in a game like that, both teams are gonna be up for it. The form book goes out the window, and guess it's the better team on the day, and who's up for it the most, really.
It is a one game final, and I like that stuff. You get to go head to head and see who wins. And folks, you know, we talked about me not making the show, and I've said it before when I got to the HL and whatnot, I didn't believe in myself enough. I didn't deep down believe I could do it and make it. And then my play was like that. I believe from talking in my shed and the shed family we've built that I can get chocolate thrown on the ice if Sheffield wins that game. And I play that song, Imagine That, because the puppies I'm raising around here, the kids coming up, I want them to believe in themselves. I want them to believe that they can do it. And I believe I can get chocolate thrown on the ice in Sheffield against the rules.
Yeah, against the fun police
Yeah.
of the Sheffield Arena, and like you said on the previous pods, it's a league event, so
It's a league event.
hopefully
Yeah. What are they going to do? Ban me? I'm just a guy talking to my shed.
the FBI will be battering down the door over there in
The
Cardiff.
chocolate police are going to come find me.
Yeah. Oh man, I'd hate to see that.
Fun stuff. But what was the picture that won the championship to make it to Singapore? What'd you take a picture of?
So it was a landscape shot in a misty autumnal woodland. So it's a place about 15 minutes drive from a house, sort of in the Peak District here in Derbyshire. And yeah, it was like a real misty shot, with some really old kind of trees. It's hard to, I guess, describe it over here, but yeah, it's
Sometimes a picture says a thousand words, right? Hard to say a thousand words about it right now.
I think it's one of my poster pics, actually, so we can refer people to that. So it's one of the ones where I'm kind of stood pointing to it. I think I sent it to you. So it's
Where you're
like a
putting up
misty
the
wood.
number one, right?
Yeah, that's the one. That's
Just
the
like a
one.
hockey photo when you win and you give the number one. I got one right there with my fellas this year when I'm behind them with my number one up.
Yeah,
Winning
that's
is
it.
fun.
Exactly. Winning is fun. So yeah, so it was that shot, and there was a guy walking towards me in the distance. Didn't know who the guy was, and he kind of came out of the mist. And it's like quite a nice, like, ethereal feel to the picture. And never did I, in a million years did I think that it'd be as successful as it was, because there were like over 8,000 people entered, and those were from like China and the Great Wall and Japan and all these iconic places. And mine was 15 minutes from my front door, so even when I thought
It's
that was
wild.
a real shock. So yeah, it was crazy. Yeah,
That's
I couldn't
awesome.
believe it.
Yeah, man, that's really cool that you did it so close to home and against 8,000 entrants or whatever or more than that. Like when we win hockey championships, we're going against like 10 teams, you know?
Yeah,
Not
no, it's
8,000.
yeah, no, I like I say, never expected to win in a million years, and it started to open up a few doors for me with like the travel world, and
Well, and
yeah,
now going there and doing this and getting this experience is going to open up more doors, just like running amok does.
absolutely, I can't wait.
Well, that's really cool. So, poster picks brought to you by Freeman Designs, Lee Freeman, Muck Runner. I don't know how you chose what went on your poster when you are a photographer, you know? How'd you pick? I can't hear you all of a sudden. What is my internet's unstable? I'm right here. What is this talking about?
I can hear you okay, Wally.
Now you're back.
Ah, there we go. How did I pick the post pick? So it's I kind of looked at things what were meaningful to me. So rather than I guess the quality of images, I went for more meaningful points in my life or things what signified like a particular point in my life really. And so there's some interesting pictures in there. There's one of me obviously dressed as a pirate, so that kind of signifies me being a primary school teacher by day. So I teach now part-time, so I've been a teacher for 10 years, and I like to be fun for the children. I like to put a smile on the faces, so
Fun
if
is
that
fun.
involves me, yeah, exactly, fun is fun. And if that involves me dressing as a pirate and doing a cheesy pirate voice or whatever, I'm down to do that. So, but yeah, I kind of looked at.
I always get the best guess. It's just like when I shaved my head for with my team, or they shaved my head. It was like, well, sometimes you gotta have fun to have fun, right?
Exactly. And by you allowing yourself to have fun, you kind of then let barriers down for those guys, and they're more likely to learn or
Or be
be
themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And it gives them that sort of confidence and that empowering sort of feeling to think, you know what, if my teacher, if Mr. Antcliffe can dress like a pirate and be silly, then I'm going to be creative, I'm going to be imaginative with my writing or whatever. So so I've kind of chose the poster picks based on real significant points in my life, and just
Well,
kind of
that's
went
a
through it
good
that
one
way.
behind the pirate. I thought it was going to be like Halloween or something. That's a way better answer.
I'm glad it didn't disappoint, but
Yeah,
yeah, I've
no, because when I
you
look at the poster pics and I'm like, go through your Instagram, I'm like, he put a picture up of himself as a pirate on like Halloween out of all these pictures. And it, you know what? When people think about their poster pics and why they're putting it on, it means way more to me too to get that poster made with Lee, because the guy, I've had guys where it's like, oh man, just Google me. And it's like, whatever. If you don't care, I don't care.
Exactly. No, you only get out what you put in, like I say. And I thought the post picks would be a good little talking point and to segue into different sort of I
Well,
guess
then
areas.
I'm asking the next question. Then the next one is it's you with your fancy camera, the big long ones. But it looks like you're taking a picture of a stage. So that would be taking a picture of musicians, probably.
Yeah, so that was a festival in Sheffield, a pretty big music festival called the Tramlines Festival. So they have, I think it started back in 2000 and I believe, or 2004 maybe, and it's kind of grown ever since to, last year there was 40,000 people there each day over 3 days. So that's a local festival with a lot of local but also international artists as well. So some really good bands who've been there. And I enjoy shooting there because it's nice to sort of photograph a lot of local bands, but also, yeah,
It's nice
just
to
have.
help out the people in your community too, right? And it's like, it's the same with the photographers in hockey. Helen Braben, when I was in Cardiff, she took tons of pictures of us, of me playing hockey, and then also did a family shoot with our Devils stuff on, and then gave us all these keepsakes of all the pictures from when I was with the Devils. And I mean, when you're just out there living and doing it, and these musicians are playing, like it does take everyone to capture the moments, right?
Yeah, exactly. And another great person you mentioned there, Helen. I've kind of known Helen for a while now, not really spoke to her, but you've had a couple of great photographers down there over the years, Helen and Jess Roberts, Paul Sullivan, another good guy, Sully.
Shed guy, great
Another shed
singer.
guy. Yeah, absolutely. I said to Sully as well, I remember messaging him after he sung the Welsh National Anthem. I think it was at the playoff weekend, and I said to him, man,
He
that,
also, I made him sing it in the shed too.
Yeah, I remember that episode. That was fun. And he gave me the hairs on the end of my arms just stood on end, and
I know.
failed to to do that. He's one hell of a singer and a great guy too as well.
He'd make all the hair stand up on my body, and I have somewhere I'm not supposed to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think he's the Sheffield guy, right? Dean Woolley, he runs amok too. He's doing
Yeah.
Team GB right now. And folks, I can't get sidetracked just talking about the Challenge Cup final. The Shed family brought it up yesterday. Team Great Britain is playing in my honey hole, Cardiff, Wales. They're dressing in the locker room where I gave my speech Wally night and my whole life changed. And the guy I sponsor is making his debut and running amok. Robert Dowd's the captain. Mark Richardson's an assistant captain who gave me my Team Great Britain golf shirts and pants. Evan Mosey is on that team who loves Kit Kats, and Cardiff really hasn't bought into letting him know how much they appreciate him and throwing Kit Kats on the ice yet. I think this weekend, when they run their muck, I think that we should shower the ice in chocolate in Cardiff for Team Great Britain. And that would be the Sheffield fans, the Cardiff fans, the Storm fans, everybody coming together and saying, hey, guess what? Hockey's fun.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan. And Kit Kat, get that, the original movement. It'd be good to get that going at the GB games. Yeah, for sure.
Right? And Kit Kat, get that. Were you there? That was something else, eh?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Did you throw
The
Kit Kats? Did you get involved?
no, I didn't get involved. I was
Jeepers.
watching from afar and kind of thinking, knowing how the arena security can be, I kind of envisaged it wouldn't go down so well. And obviously, with all the aftermath after, it's a shame, the fun police there got involved.
They did get involved.
No,
They
hopefully,
shut us right down.
hopefully, the Steelers can, well, hopefully that can happen against Guildford in the
Right?
final.
And you know what? I've got penalties before, and guess what? Every once in a while, you got to let yourself out of the penalty box.
Exactly. Got to climb over and get involved in the scrum again.
Yeah, you know, that's and Sheffield has nothing to do with folks. The Steelers haven't talked to them at all. They haven't acknowledged what I'm doing, and they shouldn't. They should let me be me and have fun, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, go Team Great Britain, the biggest fan. And for me, it's been a wild journey watching them play over the last decade because I remember being in Cardiff doing my MBA. I'm still there after the season, writing my papers at Eli Jenkins, Cardiff Bay, great spot, folks. That was my honey hole. But I'd write my papers, have a couple, and I got them to like put on Team GB's game on the TV, and I thought, man, this is so cool. I can see my teammates playing for Team Great Britain. And then I saw how great of a team they were. I saw some behind the scenes of how they got along and all had each other's backs. And I think that's how teams win. But from that season, they didn't win it that year. But then they win the next 2 years in a row. Then all of a sudden they're in the top pool, and I'm watching Ben Bounds kick out pucks on TSN, and I'm watching Richie do his thing, and I'm like, this is so cool to watch my friends basically write a Disney movie script that's better than Miracle. It's better than any other hockey story that's ever been written, and they did it in real life.
Yeah, it's one hell of a story, and like you say, it certainly is the stuff of, I guess, dreams for some of those guys, and for small nation in terms of geographically, with as fewer rinks as it's got, compared to some of the bigger nations, and to have done so well, it really is a testament to how hard those guys have worked.
And the
It's
people they
it's
are, man, they are the right people to do stuff like this. I always say good people win stuff, and they're as good as people get. I mean, and for me, it's so neat that like I have their team swag from last season, and also that like I got to have on the Team GB core when I had on the five or six fellas from the squad that like have built this empire, and that I know those people, man. I got some famous friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, the old Herb Brooks saying, I think he said, was, we're not looking for the best players, we're looking for the right ones. And
Yeah.
it's so true. You've got to get the characters, the personalities, the players all kind of go to war for each other every night first, and then kind of build from there. And yeah, it's great to see the, I guess, the dynasty, what the GB setup's become.
I totally couldn't agree more about it. It's not always the, you don't always want the best players on your team. You want the right ones because you can have the best players, and if they're not the right leaders, and if they're not the guys you need as your best players, It just doesn't work. And you know what's neat for me is we got a game tonight, game tomorrow morning against the other top team to finish off the regular season this weekend. But I'm having on my two horses tomorrow after our game, and they're my leaders. They're my best players. They're the best kids around too, and they're best friends with my son. And to think of starting this, and my name wasn't out there that much growing up as a kid in the middle of nowhere, that I can help these kids get their name out there, and they're still playing in their local town, and they haven't gone AAA yet, and that I can help them, it means the world to me, and they deserve it because I have everything I need with this team. I have the right leaders, I have the right people, and out of a small town to have all that is pretty neat.
Yeah, I know you're doing a hell of a job, and like you've mentioned in the last
I'm
few
not
podcasts.
doing anything. They're just being themselves.
Yeah, but I guess it goes back to allowing them to have fun, and winning is fun. So it goes in a good circle, doesn't it?
Well,
So.
and I, yeah, it's go time right around here. I got the juices are get a bit wound up here, but this is the last week of regular season, and then we start playoffs, and it's eight teams, one game against each team, top two. Play a best of three or first to 4 points. So, shit's gonna get real, real quick.
Sounds good.
Competing is fun, right? Being on a team is fun. Having a team of shed guys is fun. It's all fun. More poster pics. You're all dolled up. Looks like a black tie affair with a gal. Is that your gal?
Yeah, no, that's my wife Lorna. That was a I think it was a like a works do for her work
You're
a
all
few years
dolled up, eh?
ago now.
It's like a black
Yeah.
tie affair.
Yeah, it was like a I think it was like a I forget the event. It was like an awards evening for her work, and it was the first and last time I think I wore a penguin suit, and don't think I'll be able to fit into that now without kind of bursting a few buttons off. But no, that was the first and last time I wore one of those. I kind of like to be a bit more casual with the attire, although it is nice to get dressed up every once in a while. It's certainly not my preferred attire, shall we say. But yeah, it's
Well, I couldn't agree more, dude. I hated dressing up. And fun fact for the folks is in Germany, you do not dress up to go to hockey games. You dress in your normal clothes. I would wear a hoodie and jeans and just roll in, play the hockey game, muck it up, and then head out of there. And then when I did get to Cardiff, and Lordo says, we wear suits to every game or whatever, and track suits on the road. And I'm like, I haven't worn a suit in a lot of years other than go to weddings. So I had one. I wore it to every game for 2 seasons. The boys loved it. great suit, and never washed it once. It hit downtown Cardiff a few times.
Wow.
It hit the big blue tent a few times, and you know what? Never washed that thing once. By the end, it could pretty well stand up on its own.
Yeah, some Chippy Lane stories in that suit, I bet.
Well, yeah, you got to be careful if you're not going to wash it, right? But it was black, so everything just kind of blended it. But I know what you mean about dressing up, because the other time that that brings back a memory was when I was at Western Michigan, and I was up for like a award for the league, or I was an all-star or something. We went to like downtown Detroit. All the teams come for the awards night, and they put me in like a legit tuxedo, and I was so uncomfortable. I had never been so uncomfortable. I just wanted to be in my suit from Cardiff,
Yeah, it's important to feel comfortable, and I think a lot has to be said for like you say in Germany, being able to rock up to the rink in shorts or jeans and a t-shirt, and
Be
if you're comfortable,
yourself.
you play. Yeah, exactly. You can be yourself, and it kind of gets you into the routine of, I guess, being comfortable initially and then getting down to business. So I obviously, as a teacher, I have to dress a bit more formal at school, but as soon as I come home, it's like the joggers and the t-shirt and the hoodie go on, and
Oh yeah.
yeah,
Got to get
it's
out of the fancy shoes. I get all dolled up for work too, but it's funny because I'll wear my Team Great Britain shirt right to work.
nice. That's cool. I
Yeah,
like that.
you gotta better support your team all the time. But I also wear my Super Heat where I work, who is a sponsor of the shed and doesn't even know it. I put their logo on every poster because I do this on my lunch hours. And it means the world to me that I've been doing that and they know I'm doing that. And they don't say nothing to me and let me be me. And that is priceless in the world.
Yeah. You know, by having that, I guess, trusting you to do that, you know, it makes your, I guess, work ethic and productivity better because you believe in the people you're working for, right? Whereas if
same as in hockey with a coach.
Yeah, exactly. And if you had a boss who you didn't really like, you'd just do the bare minimum to get by. You wouldn't go above and beyond. And
you're not going to have their back because they don't have yours, right?
Exactly. Yeah. A lot has to be said for that kind of leadership style. And yeah, you know, I think it's both parties win, you and obviously work do as well.
Well, I am in a better mood after I do this. I got more energy. But also, like, I'm a lucky coach in the hockey world, but also in the real world is I have a team of old school mucker uppers that like they have families. This is their profession and they're good at it. And they work hard and they have my back and they have each other's backs and it's a good team. And that is how I can do this, is because I have the right people in the right places. Right.
Yeah,
that's hockey. Yeah, next poster pick. Oh, it's the one that won the championship. I got pick a forest with number one. That's the one. Next one, you are the captain of the Ice Tigers. Who are they?
Yeah, so they're a rec team here in Sheffield. So
are you still doing that? You still mucking it up?
Sadly, not. A couple of injuries have kind of put that one to rest. So I tore my quad tendon. Yeah, it's you know, I've kind of had injuries all my life really from hockey, and yeah, if I went from head to toe, it's a pretty interesting list, but I'll not bore the listeners with that one. But yeah, the last one was I tore my quad tendon in my right leg, and that leg had already kind of had you know, some other injuries. I did my MCL and my meniscus on that same leg in 2018 playing hockey, and then I did the quad tendon in 2021 on Boxing Day. So yeah, so sadly I've not really played since
you
then.
Remember the days you get injured.
Yeah.
They're tough ones. Well, my parents were flying over to watch me play in Cardiff, and we had played in Belfast, fly back right after I'd fought Kevin Noble. We fly to Belfast, play one more game. My knee is full of fluid and shit, and you know, it looks swollen, but it doesn't like hurt. It's just full of shit. And then the next day I'm driving to the train station to pick up my parents, and my leg locked while I was driving a standard car. My leg locked that like I couldn't bend my knee, and a couple times I had to like force it through to like get to the pedal. And man, it was very unsafe getting to that train station that day when I became a pirate. And then my parents didn't see me play and I didn't play, and then they were actually there for when I had surgery.
Man, that's cool. Yeah, you do, you remember the injuries, and God, that some of the faces I were pulling then as you read that, well, as you said that, was yeah, it's interesting. It's horrible, you know, they stick with you, and it's almost like a trauma, particularly if you have a real bad injury in particularly bad circumstance, and you know, you become very self-conscious of, you know, the weakness in thereafter, and you know, it sticks with you.
You know, some injuries are for life, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. But I've got a lot from the game of hockey, and you know, I played for over 20 years, and you know, I'm glad I did, and I got into it quite late because, as I kind of mentioned at the start of the episode, I couldn't really get into hockey from a younger age because it was the cost element of it, and I live with my mom, and she didn't drive, so there was no way of getting me to the training and stuff. I would have loved to have played when I was younger, so I started when I was, I think, 16, 17. I've had 20 years, so I, you know, I can't complain. And you know, I was lucky enough to captain the Ice Tigers, who are a rec team, a recreational team in Sheffield, but you know, a team where, you know, I've made some amazing friends over the years. And yeah, I've captained them for the last 8 years or so. And It's a shame it's come to an end, but I love the game still, and maybe one day I'll go back. But whilst I've got all the the weddings and the business in photography, it's a bit of a risk to then
You
have
can
your own
only
business
do so much,
that.
right? You can only do so much. And if you have a passion and a drive for the photography, but also hockey, it's hard to do both. I know what it's like. Like there's been times I've been invited to Germany for teammates' jerseys to be retired. Happened twice that I couldn't make it. And it still hurts. It still hurts me that I didn't get back there for them, for my brother, for life. And you can't do everything. It's like Batch had asked me to come for his, and I'm like, yep, I'm all in 100%. And it's like, well, I can't do everything. And then Renee Schoefs asked me to go to Bietigheim for his jersey retirement. And it's like, well, I can't be in both places. And it was the same bizarre timing as my best centerman I ever played with, Justin Kelly in Bietigheim, that had a career-changing year with me. When we win the championship in Germany, he invited me back for his night in Bietigheim, and it happened to be the same time as Wally night in Cardiff. You know, what are the chances of all the days to do it?
Yeah, no, I guess Wally Knights, it's gone down in folklore since and been spray painted, and some of the stories and some of the pictures I've seen, and a lot of the
I think I
fans
had
who I've
really
talked.
caged it up for a few years there, and I had really gotten fat and depressed, and I hadn't been Wally, and it just all kind of came out. Just enjoying the game and being back.
Yeah, I remember the episode where I think you read out the letter what Todd Kelman wrote, and God, that even had me like tearing up as well, man. When you read that, and how much that meant to you could really feel that, as a listener, and to have that kind of admiration from a club, and you say you've not achieved what you would like to have done with the NHL dream, but by having that and that letter from Todd, it's that's real justification and reassurance right there. And a lot of people are killed for that. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's pretty special. So, kudos to you, man.
No, it's, but kudos to Todd for writing that. It's like I acted like a fool. Well, I guess I was being myself, and it was interesting. The whole thing's interesting. The way this whole journey's gone was, when I was a hockey player, there were times where I acted like myself, and it was the times I played my best. And then there was times I was trying to fit in with the pro hockey guys, and how the game was changing. Everybody's serious, and it's not as hockey as it used to be. And when I got to Cardiff, I struggled at the start. I struggled for months, and they had brought me in to be the guy. And a couple months into it, I'm on the third line. I'm not penalty killing. And I remember sitting there, and my son and my wife are in the crowd, and I'm like, well, seems like this is it, because if I'm not even doing well in the UK league, I guess like this will be it. And then I th remember sitting on the bench one game, and I'm not doing shit again. And I was sitting there going, if this is how I'm going out, I'm gonna go out swinging, but I'm gonna go out as hockeying as I can get, and I'm gonna have fun. And I went out the next shift, put it between my legs a couple times, and then I remember being at the top of the power play, and I did a backhand slap shot pass between my legs for no reason at all, just to see if anybody would say anything to me about it. And it did go tape to tape. And anyways, nobody said nothing to me about nothing. And then I was like, so I can just like go out and have fun, and I can just play. And then I started doing that, and I played way better. And then I started doing better. I was with Mizey on the third line, and all of a sudden we had a third line that's scoring. All of a sudden our team was awesome. And I also remember being on teams that not everybody hung out together, and there were cliques. And I also remember that day going, well, that season when I left Denmark and I got to Cardiff, they already had a great group, but a lot of us were new together. And I remember being like, I'm going to hang out with every teammate. I'm going to find days to do something with everybody, because You got to bring everybody together if you're going to win. And when you've seen teams that aren't like that, you're like, well, this is why we don't win, you know?
Yeah, exactly. A tight group off the ice always equates to a good group on the ice, and a team will have each other's backs and go, you know, and go to war for each other. And yeah, you know, that's one thing I always liked to do when I played and when I captained the Tigers, where we had social do's, social events, go-karting, things like that. And it brings the players together. And when you have got that sort of element of fun to it, you kind of find that bit more energy, that bit more sort of biting your game, and you'll finish your hits a bit more for your brothers on the ice out there. And
Block
yeah,
more shots,
completely.
but you know what? And that's what's crazy to me is when I came back here and I'm trying to be a different person, trying to be this business Brent guy that's a loser, and I'm trying to fit in the real world. And it was going back to Cardiff for Wally Knight and them writing that email that he did at the end, right? Be more Wally. And I was like, then I come back from acting like a fool in Cardiff and my team, I was their supervisor at that point. Like, they laughed about it. They put pictures up on the wall. And then, like, even the big dogs, like, laughed about it. And I was like, oh, so, like, I can be myself in the real world too. Like, you guys know what I did, and it doesn't even matter. And then I started being myself at work too. And man, it is life-changing stuff being yourself instead of trying to be something else.
Yeah,
Not
no,
giving a
completely.
shit what people think of you know?
Exactly. I think I've done that for way too long in the past.
Me
I
too.
kind of, yeah, I got bullied at secondary school quite a bit, and that kind of stuck with me for a long time. And you kind of do things, and you want to look a certain way or act a certain way to fit in. And once I stop kind of with bullshit, with the pretenses and stuff, that's when people can find the real you. And similar to yourself, but obviously slightly different as well. I've not played professional hockey, but by then, just letting the barrier down, letting the guard down, that's when you can be yourself and people like you more, and you're not pretending to be someone you're not. So no, I completely get that, and I can relate.
Might as well be you, right? But and you, I like talking to you, and it makes sense that they made you the captain. And being named the captain of any team is important, whether it's a rec league, whether it's anything. It's like, this is our leader. This is the guy bringing us together. And like, for me, I was that guy at Western Michigan. I was an assistant captain, and I remember going to Cardiff, and Lord, I was trying to figure out who his leaders are going to be. And I remember him calling me in the summer, and he's like, "You know, I'm going to try and figure out who's captain's assistants. Like, what do you think about yourself?" And I remember saying to him, "Like, I'm not the captain. I'm like, I'm not a captain of a team. I'm an assistant captain. I'm going to have that captain's back, and I'm going to help him any way I can. But I'm in between the two. I don't want to be that leader that has to be mean to guys, that has to do things that I don't want to do. I just want to be the assistant captain that I can try and bring everybody together, you know?" And it meant the world to me because it never happened in Germany that my last season of hockey, I did get injured and not play, but I was named a captain of a professional hockey team. So thanks, Cardiff.
Yeah,
Right?
no, amazing. It's amazing, it is. It's an honor, and one thing I'm proud of as well. I got into the sport quite late, but my first season playing, I got an A. I was by far the worst player on the team, but I probably had the best work ethic. And yeah, that was with the Hallam Rink Rats. And after that, every team I've been on, I've either been a C or an A. And even with like charity teams as well, I've kind of worn a C, and something I'm proud of, because I like to think, even though I'm
And you
probably the
should be.
most Yeah, I'm not the most talented player, but I worked hard. I played with an edge. I played physical. I'd have my teammates' backs, and that's something,
You did
I'm
it.
proud
You
of.
did everything you could do. And brings to me is in Manchester, they named the Moose Michael Corral a captain this year, who last year was like his first year playing pro. He didn't have the big resume, but he's got Jake, who's his biggest fan. He takes pictures with kids. He signs everything. He's a good guy that works hard and does the best he can. And like, then Ginner knows how to hockey. He makes him a captain. And it's like, yeah, man, that's awesome. Right?
Yeah,
That guy's a
absolutely. I think
captain in his second year pro. It took me 10 years.
It's amazing. I was talking about getting earlier with somebody, and I was saying I think goalies sometimes make the best coaches because they get a real good view of the ice. They get to see everything. You know, they're a bit more sometimes analytical, even though we know goalies can also
Be
have a screw
weird.
loose sometimes. They're a little bit quirky, but there's been some really good goalies who've gone on to coach in the past, and I think Ginner, given the sort of finances there. And things in terms of budget constraints. I think he's done a great job, and the team is recruited. He always finds a few diamonds in the rough, and I think he's done a great job, all things considered.
He has, and you're right about the goalie thing, because I had never really played goalie. Did it once at Western Michigan on like a Christmas break. I thought it was the stupidest thing ever, having college guys shoot pucks at my head. But this year we did a 3-on-3 day and we needed another goalie to step up, so I strapped on the pads, and it was interesting watching it, what hockeying from a goalie's position, and it taught me about hockey, and that's what I'm into right now, is learning as much as I can, because I'm into it again and I want to be the best coach I can be. Being a goalie and watching the play, you could see who you can trust, who's doing what their tendencies are, but also you're just like standing there watching the game until it's go time, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Anywho, next poster pick is, well, it's at the Steelers. The Steelers logo is behind, and then there's the kid with the red helmet on. What's that picture?
Yes, that's a young boy called Alex, and that was when I was writing the program article. So Alex is a young boy who's got epilepsy, and he's autistic, and his mum kind of followed me on Twitter, and she messaged me and said that Alex, she used to read the program articles to Alex every night before bed, and he loved reading about Steelers. He loved everything to do with hockey. And I sort of, really got on well with Alex's mom, and we talked about him, and I arranged for him to, his mom basically, she sponsored me for one of the charity hockey tournaments that I was playing in. And I didn't really know her that long, £50. And I was just so touched. And so I messaged her and
How
said, "Oh, thank you
much?
so much. £50." So I
Oh
don't
yeah.
know what that'd
No,
be
that
in
yeah,
dollars.
no, that's awesome, man. When people support you, it can mean
Yeah,
the world.
exactly. So I was really touched. So I messaged her and said, "Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it." And that's when she told me about Alex and kind of what he's kind of had to deal with. And she said, I said to her, "Oh, has he ever met any of the Steelers players?" And she said, "Oh, no, because with the crowds and everything after the games with the signings, he struggles with the big crowds, he struggles with queuing and that sort of thing." So whilst I was still involved with the Steelers back then, I arranged for him to get a tour of the locker room and meet the players. And his favorite player was Jason Hewitt. So I arranged for Alex to have a photo with Jason Hewitt on the ice. And Jason Hewitt, I think he's got an autistic child as well, so it probably resonated with him, and he was graceful enough and really good with Alex, and so we keep in contact. And Alex, he turned 21 last year, and I think he was about 12 on that photo, and we still keep in touch. I go around to his house, and we'll have a gaming day every so often where he'll talk to me about his games. And Alex, even though he doesn't know, he kind of inspired me to go into teaching and be a primary school teacher. And ultimately now, I've kind of worked with special needs as a special needs teacher. So kind of Alex inadvertently helped define the path I went down. And he's always gonna have a special place in my heart, and he'll always be a part of my life.
I don't like saying nice things to people in my shed. But those kids are lucky to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot,
Yeah, shut up when you're talking to me. You got me all choked up over here. Okay, next poster pick. Bird's eye view of the Steelers barn. The way too big, the way too warm, big Steelers barn.
Yeah, so that one was the varsity hockey game. So I used to play for Sheffield Hallam University, and I was fortunate enough to play in the varsity games, sort of from 2007 to 2011. I was a bit of a plug though back then, so I only played like 4 flying minutes. I think I got about three or four shifts, but
Yeah, you
playing
got
in
to
the
work your way
varsity.
up, right?
Yeah, exactly. So playing in the varsity games, were amazing. 8,000 drunken students in the building, and For years after, they had commentating from the university, and it was often hockey fans who didn't really, not hockey fans, it was often people who weren't hockey fans who didn't know the sport. So, the commentary was from university students who were doing media or things, but they were calling the puck a ball,
Yeah,
and
you
they were
need the
saying,
hockey guys to hockey. Yeah, you need.
yeah. So I got in touch with the university, and I said, look, I'm a former varsity player. How about, I kind of get involved with the commentary. And so I've done that now for the last few years, and yeah, really enjoy it. It's different. It's hard work, kind of commentating. It's draining, mentally draining. And when you're up so high, like in the gods up there, it's hard to see the jersey numbers, particularly University of Sheffield, who wear black jerseys with yellow writing. And when
You
you're
need to know their
already,
names and everything, eh?
yeah, oh man, it's hard. And yeah, so I get involved with the commentating, and I love it. It's It'll be coming up next month, I believe, and hopefully I think I'm involved again. So I best put on my research team, gets hot, kind of
Yeah, you're gonna have
load
to.
and get researching them. But yeah, it's always good fun.
It takes everybody to put on hockey games, and it takes everybody liking it and wanting to be there, and you don't realize it as when you're playing, because you're just playing. And then when you get on this side of it and you see all the different people it takes to put on a game and make it all happen, it's like one of our minor hockey games was canceled because we didn't have refs. And it's like, well, geez, if people are too hard on these guys and people are screaming and parents are being donkeys, and it's like, well, then they're not going to want to come back, and you're not going to have enough of them. And it's like, we need kids, teenagers and whatnot, to want to be refs. And it's like, if you don't treat them right, why are they gonna want to do it?
Yeah, that's one of my biggest bugbears in hockey is how much abuse the refs get. And I'm quite good friends with a few of the guys who ref, and yeah, some of the abuse they get, it's ridiculous. And often, as I'm sat in the stands and I'm watching and I hear some of the verbals, what the fans are saying, it's often like a lack of fan knowledge about rules, things like, too many men, and they don't understand the rules around, obviously, if you're not involved in the play, you can have however many men on the ice, but if that puck kind of goes through there and you don't have anything to do with it, it's fine. Like, it doesn't matter if you got 10 guys, 15 guys on there, as long as you're not playing or directly involved in the play and you interfere with the play, then it doesn't matter. But a lot of fans, they don't see that, and some of the abuse,
And it's interesting for me watching it. What I see out there is that it's people are competitive and they have no control over if their team wins or not. But when a team doesn't win, they need to blame somebody or something. And it's like, well, actually, how about you just play better and win, and then you don't have shit to bitch about. It's like, it's not the ref's fault, and it's the same with my boys. It's like, as soon as something happens, they're like, why? Why? And it's like, boys, just shut up. Like, just play. They blew the whistle because they thought it was offside, so let's line up for the face-off and keep playing hockey. You know?
Exactly. And even some of the more blatant rules, like a boarding, a boarding is pretty clear cut, and for some fans to dispute some of the calls and be so, verbally,
Negative.
yeah,
Neg
negative and thinking they're
negativity is
right.
exhausting. Make you
Oh, it
tired.
is. Yeah, it is. It takes so much more energy being negative than it does being positive. And I think there's research out there shows something like 80% kind
Well,
of, mental absorption
you cut
is
out
pretty much
there. How many?
draining.
What's the percentage?
I think about 80%.
Yeah,
Yeah,
most
something like
people
that.
are negative, and if you look around the world, there's some people living right and some people that just got a problem with stuff. And it's like, well, maybe you should put a smile on your face and enjoy the day because you only get so many.
Exactly. Completely agree.
Next poster pick. Is that the Northern Lights?
Yeah, so that was another kind of bucket list moment for me, really, where it's something I've kind of dreamt of since being a kid. And like I kind of go back to, I never went abroad till I was 21. So for me, my learning of the world was reading magazines like National Geographic and Reader's Digest. And I kind of used those magazines to transport me to places what I never thought would be possible. So I imagined going to those places as a kid, and I always have been obsessed with the Northern Lights, the Aurora. It's just something I've found fascinating, whether I've seen it on films, documentaries, in a magazine. And so yeah, I was like, right, I'm
And
gonna
you got
go
to
and
go
do
out there and do that.
Yeah, I did, and you know what? I'm not gonna lie. It was like an emotional experience for me as I was stood there seeing them for the first time. You know, I was I was welling up. I was thinking, wow, this is all I ever imagined it to be, and better. It was, you know, an incredible experience, and it kind of makes you take stock of things, and you kind of find your place in the world and think, I'm so insignificant compared to, you know, the world and everything. And without going, who was the goalie for Philly who went on about the during the Winter Classic? He was,
Oh,
oh, the world is
Brizgalov.
Briz, without going Briz, and the world is humongous big, you know, without going into that one.
But it is weird how it's small too. It's like when I see people listening to me talking my shit all over the world, and like I don't have a marketing team. I don't have. I'm just doing it with my team, and it's neat stuff. But when you were talking about all that, what hit home for me and how much it meant to you and how you're welling up. When I got out of the game, fat and depressed, and we had moved to a new town, and I didn't know that many people and they didn't know me, and it was a struggle to start. And then there's been minor hockey coaching positions I have not got, and I have been right wound up when I don't win because I'm a touch competitive and I love coaching. I have a passion for it, and I like hockeying with kids and showing them stuff that I know, and I know how to do it. And there was a meeting this week, the whatever meeting with all the people, and anybody can go and say what they need to say about minor hockey. Well, I've never gone to a minor hockey meeting, and I never will, other than when they ask the coaches to come to the coaches meeting. I just want to coach. I don't want to get into all the baloney. I want to pick the best players. When there's tryouts, I want to have no politics about nothing. I want to raise my puppies as best as I can, and I want to stay out of all the other stuff. And then I find out that my co-coach that was given the coaching job this year, and the whole plan was to let me do it with him, and he does let me take over when I feel the need or when I need to say stuff. And he's one of the best guys I know, and he's had my back through this whole season. Went there and had my back, and I got all welled up. I didn't know he was going to do that. He didn't even tell me he did it. I found out from someone else in the Shed family, and I found out what he said about me. And when you love doing something and people haven't had your back, when somebody's been there with you for the year and then says what he said, it's like, shit, I am doing what I meant to do, you know?
It's
Shut up
I
when you're talking to me.
definitely No, it is. It's like a testament, really, isn't it? And when, you know, when you go, I think it's just a hockey thing. Hockey people get each other, and you know, with that co-coach, you know, doing that, it's you know, hockey players and I guess hockey coaches will have each other's backs, and you know, it takes a special kind of person to play hockey. It takes a special person to kind of coach hockey. And sometimes a lot of people, you know, parents or whatever be it, you know, people are involved in making some of the decisions. They don't get that sometimes. And you know,
Well,
it's good that you're back.
I meant the world to me, and it was I mean, that's it makes you a happier person, and being nice is nice. And I always find it interesting that's like people can say nice things about you, but like you don't hear it. Like usually nobody tells you the nice thing to your face. Like I found out from someone else what he said, and it's like it's interesting with hockey players. It's like when they go out and do something good, go tell them how awesome they were. Tell them how great they played, because then they're gonna have a little more giddy up, you know?
Yeah, of course. It massively helps, and I think that's the thing about teaching. You know, it that resonates with me is, you know, I love teaching. I love working with the children, but I hate the bureaucracy, the politics, all that, what comes with it. And because it's such a heavily scrutinized kind of profession anyway, you know, you're told your displays in your classrooms aren't great. You've told, you know, you need to mark these books a certain way, you need to do this. And you've obviously got the lesson observations so frequently. And You scrutinized all the time, but sometimes you just need to hear, you know what, you did a really good job with that. And we're so quick to criticize sometimes. We're not quick enough to tell people when they're doing things well. And I think, like you say, we need
Yeah.
more positivity and people need to hear it more.
Well, it's the same, like you're talking and teaching, and it's like with hockey. It's like I've heard of hockey organizations that are telling their coaches how to coach. And it's like, you're gonna tell me how to do this? And it's like when they're telling you what you gotta do in teaching, it's the same thing. And I've heard of organizations that like they're like, you have to do this and you have to do it this way and you have to do it this way. And it's like, so you gonna tell me how to hockey? So it's okay. Not sure I'm into that.
No, definitely not. I think you need that freedom and creativity to do things your own way. And similar with hockey and teaching, if you've got that sort of creativity and things will naturally happen and work well. So for me, as a teacher, I always believe relationships and rapport are the most important, then the attainment and the progress will naturally follow, because children are little people pleasers. If you've got their sort of if you captivate them, got their attention, you've got a good relationship with them, they will naturally do well. So
And
that to me is paramount
yeah,
for me.
it sounds a lot like coaching, as
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the wildest concert you've ever been to as a photographer or
Oh.
as a participant in the crowd?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a
Yeah,
good one. I
tough
tell you,
questions, eh?
yeah, they are. No, I tell you, one of my favorite concerts is a Canadian boy, and he's probably one of my how do I say it? What's I forget the term, where it's like a guilty pleasure. There we go. Here's a guilty pleasure of mine,
Guilty pleasure.
Brian Adams.
The
Seen the
summer of
guy seven
69.
times.
The summer of
Yep, that.
69.
Yep,
You don't
Groover
have to
from
feel bad
Vancouver.
about that. The summer of 69 is a great tune.
Oh, it is. It is. He, yeah, I blame my older sisters for getting me into him. So I kind of grew up, obviously in the 80s. I was born in 87. And it was that kind of glam rock era with Bon Jovi, Bryan Adams, those sort of Poison, Guns N' Roses. So I kind of got into that kind of jam when I was younger, and I loved it. But tell you what, Wally, you'll like this though. I've started to listen to a bit of country. I've watched the Luke, oh, what's he called now? Luke, country
Brian?
singer. Luke Bryan. Watched his documentary on, I think it was on Amazon, and that was really cool. And that guy's been through a lot, and started to listen to a bit of country really. But I guess the craziest gig, probably to photograph, was a band called Kasabian, and that was at tram lines in Sheffield. And that one, the speakers were so loud, even though you're wearing earplugs, sort of when you're in the
Oh.
photography pit next to the stage. Like, I could literally feel my teeth rattling because of the bass and things like
I don't like
that.
that shit. I can't do
No,
that, man.
no. It was pretty crazy. But for the most part, the gigs have been pretty tame. Maybe I'm just going to the wrong ones, but I'm not really into, too heavy kind of stuff. And yeah, I enjoy photographing them, and you kind of feel pressure, because with a lot of the gigs you're photographing, you only get 3 songs to kind of get your shots in the photography pit. So you're kind of under pressure to, you've got 9 minutes essentially where you need to get some really good shots. So, but I like that pressure. It's same with the weddings. I think that's why I like the weddings. You kind of up your game. You have to naturally up your game to kind of get the good stuff, right?
I don't think pressure, some people think of pressure as a bad thing. And it's like, well, it's however you decide to perceive it. Pressure can be good. And I remember thinking I always had to have the research team so hot, and I had to have all these notes and know every nook and cranny of a guy's journey. And actually, I don't do much other than I got to get the intro down, and then it's like, okay, I'm ready to play. Let's play.
You know what, I think you get more from it conversation wise, because it just flows more naturally, right? And things naturally lead on to another area. And I think
Bouncing
I'd rather
around is way more fun.
yeah exactly I'd rather have like a natural candid chat than
Than
any
going
kind of
through
stage
each
four
season of the
questions.
Hallam Rinkrats and the Bradford Vipers and the Sheffield Bears.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
Yeah.
next cutting edge question. When I look at your Insta, there's a lot of wildlife, like you said, in landscape, but there was one of a gigantic bird getting a fish out of the water. And it's like, so how long did you sit there waiting for that bird to pick up that fish?
Yeah, so that was an osprey in Sheffield, and basically at that time of year it was, I think it was October, and it should have been in on the west coast of Africa, kind of migrated over there. And there's some Facebook birder groups. So I'm not really a birder or a twitcher, as what people call them in the UK, you know, where they're into identifying birds and that sort of thing. But I saw on the group that an osprey, which is quite a rare bird to have, you know, in the UK, you know, they only go to certain parts in the UK, and they're quite low on numbers. You know, when I heard that this osprey was in Sheffield, I happened to have been off on this particular day, jumped in my car, went straight down there, and I think I was sat there for about 4 or 5 hours before I first saw it. But you're there with other photographers, you know, you get chatting, you get shooting the breeze and stuff like you. Yeah, you can have a good chat. So
You
for
got your
me,
community.
yeah, exactly. And you know what? It's nice to just be out in nature. It's nice to be out, you know, with people. It's nice to be out in fresh air.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, it's part of the experience. And I think sometimes now, because obviously I do photography professionally, sometimes I kind of feel pressure to come back with some shots that, you know, I need to either monetize or I need to use for, you know, yeah, more than my own enjoyment. So, but at the same time, with the wildlife and with the landscape stuff, that is just pure fun stuff. What I love to do, I kind of use that as my thinking time. Often I'll get out on my own, and then I'll just see people up there who I know, or you know, you get talking to people. But I just like that kind of thinking time where you can kind of get in your own zone and just, yeah,
And be
kind
in
of ponder
nature
life.
and just enjoy the day, enjoy the sunshine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely. So, yeah, no, I love wildlife though. It's something I love and something that I'm passionate about. And I like to show the children in school the photos of the wildlife and
They'd
kind of
love
ex
that shit.
oh, they do, you know, a lot of them are so consumed by iPads and YouTube and screen time that they don't get out there in nature. And like you guys, obviously in Canada, you know, there's a lot more fishing and hunting and stuff going on, and you're more outdoorsy people than what we are in the UK. And, you know,
I
I
don't think
think
that I don't honestly, I'm not sure if that's true, man. When it's winter around here, Pete, we hunker down. Like, there's nobody doing nothing these days.
can
When you're
imagine
in
where it is
Europe and
down
there's
there. I'm
Christmas
just saying.
markets and people are outdoors enjoying life, and just because it's winter means you still go outside. Like, around here,
Yeah.
man, once it's winter, it's like, okay, well, we'll see you in the spring.
I'm not surprised with how harsh your winters are. I don't think I'd even leave the house for about 3 months. So
That's why you go to your
no,
shed.
exactly. I'd love to live in Canada. You know, I'd love to live over there and with buddies and stuff. And you know, I've got a friend who lives in Hamilton, Ontario. I speak to him quite often, and you know, I've seen him a few times now. And every time I go over there, I'm like, oh man, this country, I love it. But at the same time, I couldn't do the winters, so I take my hat off to
Well, and Hamilton isn't really my dream destination, but
you. No. Yeah, the hammer.
okay. So obviously you're kind of just getting into the tourism business here with winning that award, which I think that can be a life-changing award to win, that you now get to go to Singapore and get to get part of the travel industry. Like, this thing could really explode on you. Where have you gone so far in the biz?
With the travel side of things, not really as much.
Because you took those
So
pictures of those, like, monkeys or bamboons or whatever they are.
yeah, well those sort of baboons were, I kind of cheated. They were in a wildlife park in the UK, so they're not anywhere exotic.
That's why he looks so
But
sad in that
exactly, he was like, what am I doing in the UK and
Just
people are
let me out
staring at
in the
me every day.
wilderness and let me be me.
Exactly. Need to be hanging down from trees with my balls hanging out and stuff, not like, you know. So
Everybody watch me hang from here and watch me shit my hand and eat
yeah,
it. Those monkeys have to keep themselves entertained in the zoos.
exactly. Oh man, it must be an interesting dull life, bit of monkey in a zoo. But yeah, no, I kind of cheated on that one, but the rest of the on there are pretty much out in the wild. But with the photography, I've not really traveled for photography. I've traveled but then took photos. But now winning this award, I'm hoping it'll take me places to do that. So I've got a couple of potential other jobs lined up, and
That's awesome.
I've got a destination wedding potentially as well in Italy. So yeah,
It's like running amok in hockey. It takes you places. And where?
I'm hoping it's going to take me more places. And my only regret is, I wish I did it when I was younger rather than 36, and potentially wanting a family in the next couple of years and that sort of thing. So yeah,
Yeah,
but everything
traveling
happens
when
for a
you got
reason.
families makes it a lot more difficult.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll see what happens. And the old saying goes, let the chips fall where they may, I guess.
Yeah, live one day at a time, right? Just have fun, enjoy your day, see what happens.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what was neat for me? I got it written down in my notes, so I'm gonna bring it up, is Matt Lees reached out to me from Wales, and he's a musician. And he
Okay.
told me that he wants to make me like an intro song. Like he wants to make a song for the shed. And he's a big supporter and he says winning is fun. And he punched me right in the heart. And it's like to think how crazy it is by just talking to hockey people in my shed and getting to know them. And I'm having more fun than anybody. I'm making new friends. And, for someone to support me like that and say, I want, and he said, thanks for inspiring me. I'm like, how did I inspire you? It's like, you're going to make a song about me talking in my shed. That is living,
That is cool. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's something else. So, what are your dreams or goals as a photographer? Because I find it interesting. You're kind of like a double threat. You're like, you could play forward or D, you can write and take pictures.
Yeah, I'm hoping kind of being able to do both will, I guess, make me a utility player in hockey terms. And yeah, with the writing, I enjoy it. Although I think now, the writing for a lot of publications like magazines and newspapers, it's kind of dying out a bit because everything's online, right? So
Yeah.
it's tricky. It's going to be hard to kind of create a bit of a niche in that field. But I'm hoping by being a writer and a photographer, like you say, it's a double threat where it kind of make me a more attractive proposition for sort of magazines and newspapers to take on one person who can do both rather than
Hire
assign a
two.
separate writer and photographer. So
I
I'm
agree.
hoping to get more into the travel writing, travel photography world. I'd love to go to places like the Galapagos Islands, combining nature, the love for nature. I'd love to go to Iceland again. That was an amazing place. I'd love to get over to Canada, to like Vancouver, BC, kind of go out that way, go west. I'd love to go to like Alaska as well. Just wherever it may take me. I think travel is so amazing. Everyone's got a story to tell. The culture, the history, everything about travel. I love the food, the people, the places. And yeah, I just kind of want to show that through my photos and through words as well and tell that story.
Yeah, traveling is neat and getting to understand it helps you understand the world more, right? It's like I didn't know anything about Germany and I didn't really know anything about the UK until you actually go there and do it and see it and be around the people, see what kind of food they're eating, see, what it's all about and how people live, right? And everybody's doing it differently.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I tell you, I don't know how I picked the shed guys, but I seem to keep doing a great job.
Thank you. I guess, I don't know about me. I've got a face for radio, so it's a good job. People are going to be hearing me. I know you put these out on YouTube though, right? So I should have done some
Yeah.
makeup before it came on.
Well, it's fun as fun every time. And it's like, for me, it's interesting that I put these out there because I hate hearing my own voice too.
Yeah. Same.
Like I have to do training videos for this whole company right now. And I can't even listen to the videos because I sound like such a donkey. So it's interesting that I started doing this and the passion to talk to my friends, and about hockey and good people in the game has led to all this. And I think you're doing the same in the photography world. Man, the sky's the limit when you win an award like that, and you're getting to go do what you're going to do in Singapore. I can't wait to see what you capture, and yeah, keep following your dreams, right?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, Wally, I appreciate that. And yeah, I'm looking forward to going over there and hopefully I'll do the place justice. It happens to fall in Chinese New Year. So there's going to be a lot of celebrations and I guess lots of colors and vibrancy going off. So which will hopefully translate well to when I photograph it. So I'm excited to get over there.
Yeah. How long do you go for?
Going for 9 days, I think.
Yeah.
So
You
18
can take a lot of
days.
pictures in 9 days, eh? I could talk to a lot of
Yeah.
people in 9 days.
Oh, I know. I'm looking forward to it. There's so much to do over there. I've never been. I've never even been to Asia, so it'll be the furthest I'll have been traveling. But from what I've seen, what I've read, what I've watched, it is a place where so much is happening. There's so much to see and do. And yeah, it's an interesting place based on its history as well and how it's developed. And yeah, it's gonna be a hell of a trip, hopefully.
Yeah, every country, every city has a different vibe, different culture, and it's the same as like hockey teams, man. Every team is different, and how things work and ran are different, and some are more fun than others, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, folks, if anybody's going to watch Team Great Britain play in the old honey hole, don't forget to bring your chocolate and Kit Kats for Mosey. Critch just wants a storm. Dowdy wants some caramel chocolate. Just in case anybody's listening to us in the shed and is going to the matches, I know we're on a time crunch here. The tournament ends like tomorrow. So get involved. Fun is fun. Hockey's supposed to be fun, right? And Challenge Cup final in Sheffield, folks. You guys know what to do. Don't tell the Steelers or the arena. Just keep it between us and let's have fun.
Oh yes, can't wait for that one.
It's going to be so funny, isn't it?
The security guards will not know what's hit them, literally. Will
Yeah.
it be a Twix? Will it be a Kit Kat? What will it
Just
be?
remember, folks, don't be hitting any kids or people, right? We gotta make sure those get on the ice, and especially those Toblerones. Those are big suckers.
Yeah, they'll give you a conky and put you on the IR for sure.
Well, seriously though, thank you for reaching out to me because I love getting to know good people, and what you're doing in the world, it seems like exactly what you should be doing. You're helping kids. You're following your passion, and your passion is taking you places, and that is cool to see.
No, thank you. And I appreciate you having me on here. And like I said earlier, a long time listener, first time caller, and it's been a pleasure. And I look forward to listening to every episode from here on in.
Oh, cheers, man. That means more than you know. And this has been another episode of Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Cliffy and Wally.